Wednesday night, Brother Getty asked me, he said, do you know what you're preaching on Sunday morning? And I said, no, not yet. And he said, well, I'd like to pick out some hymns that go with the message. He says, will you text me when you know what you're preaching on? And I said, no, I won't. I said, you just select the hymns as the Lord leads you, and we'll see how God works it out. And God's done it once again. We sang Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. We're going to be speaking about that this morning. But then the last song that we sung, Break Thou the Bread of Life, speaks about Jesus Christ, that he is the truth, the word of God. In that last verse, it says this, O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed, I see the Lord. I want to preach a message this morning, and the purpose of this message this morning is that you would really see the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he will do for you, but also that you will see that you can trust what Jesus Christ says. He is the Word of God. He is the truth. My challenge to you this morning is to listen, but just take the passages. We're going to be looking at a number of testimonies in the Bible this morning. And take them and go back home and just read them for yourselves. And read them and read the verse that we're going to look at this morning until it really affixes itself in your heart and your soul and affects your life. If the Bible is just merely a book that we read, like any other book, then we've missed it all. But the Bible is meant to be taken into our heart and applied to our life. And I will tell you this, it works. It works. And so this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew. To many, a very familiar verse. This morning, I'm not going to be teaching anything new. But I want to remind you this morning, I want to remind myself, as I have to often, of something that the Lord Jesus Christ said as he was here on this earth. In fact, not only something that Jesus said, but an invitation that Jesus Christ gives to each and every one of us. And this is from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to you this morning, to me this morning. You know, we get invitations all the time for many things. But an invitation is only good as the one that speaks it or writes it or gives it to you. I remember one time when Alice and I were younger, many years ago, that I get an invitation in the mail. It was a scam, but in those days, it was a different type of scam. And it was an opportunity. An opportunity. And it was for one of those timeshare things. But the invitation said, if you come and listen to our hour-long speech, we will give you a computer. Now, back in those days, we didn't own computers. We didn't have computers. And I thought, a computer? I says, Allison, let's go. She was not so eager. Rightfully so. Men, listen to your wives. Every once in a while, they have wisdom. Many more times than you would assume. I should have listened. So we went. And we began to listen. And every time the man paused, I said, listen, can we get the computer now? And they said, no, you have to go through the whole thing. Oh, man, it was a sales pitch. And finally, I said, listen, we just want the computer. And the guy got mad and says, all right, I'll give you the computer. He gave me this little black box with recorded facts about sports. And you would press a button and it would say, you know, how many gold medals did so-and-so? And then you press another, it would give you the answer. It was no more a computer than anything else. But you see, I trusted those folks. And they didn't live up to what they said. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, His word is true. You can trust Him. And He gives an invitation to each and every one of us this morning that is so important for us to understand, realize, and believe. It's found in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. It's a very simple yet powerful invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. And how much we need this all through our lives. Jesus said this. Jesus Christ says this to you this morning. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless your word this morning. Open our eyes, our minds, our hearts to your word. Lord, as we look into your word, stir our hearts. Give us faith to believe your word, to trust your word, and to respond to the invitation that you give. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This invitation that Jesus Christ gives is in the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew is a very unique gospel in this regard. It records the birth of Jesus Christ in the first two chapters. And in those first two chapters, as it records the birth of Christ, five times the phrase is given in such a way that it says this, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord. And five times in the first two chapters, that phrase, maybe not the exact same words, but that message is given to us over and over again. In the first two chapters, God wants us to know that when it comes to the birth of His Son, when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ, when it comes to Jesus Christ, from His birth throughout His life, He says, it's exactly as I said in my word that I gave to you by the prophets. And why? What is so significant of this to us this morning? You see, because God wants us to understand that when it comes to His word, we can absolutely trust it. We can stake our lives upon it. We can believe it, and we can live by it. And when Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants us to know you can trust that promise. You can believe that promise. You can cling to that promise. You can respond to that invitation. But a word is only as good as the person that speaks it. Later on, the Apostle John, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that was closest to the Lord, he would write the Gospel of John. But he would also write three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And as he writes the first letter in 1 John chapter 1, he says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And John says, when it comes to Jesus Christ, he says, I want to declare him unto you, that you might believe on him, that you might trust him. But he says, I want to understand something. He says, I have personally seen him. I have been with him. I have heard him. I've touched him. I've listened to him. I've walked with him for 3.5 years. I have been with Jesus Christ, and I declare him to you that he is exactly who he says he is, and what he says, you can believe. John says, this is the one we declare unto you. And we know him personally. We've seen him. We've heard him. We've been with him. We've walked with him. We've witnessed him. We've touched him. We've handled him. This we declare unto you. I tell you this morning, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can assure you, based upon the word of God, it's true. I can assure you from the testimony of John, it is true. But I can personally assure you from my life, it is true. Goes all the way back to 1986. Probably many of you don't even remember 1986. Some of us can remember 1986. But in that summer, this verse became so real to me. You see, in 1986, summer of 1986, just been married for, 6 years. We had 2 children. Alice and I had 2 children. Crystal, you were 3.5 years old. Can you imagine that? Pastor Donnie was a little over 1 year old. Angela, she wasn't here yet. Allison was about 7 or 8 months pregnant. Now, I give you that background so you'll understand the context of what I'm going to share with you this morning. Married for 6 years, beautiful wife, still a beautiful wife. 2 kids, young children. And my wife is 7 or 8 months pregnant. We'd been attending Lakes Pond, but we'd been living in Jewett City. And if you know, that's quite a hike. So we decided to sell our home and buy something closer so we would be closer to the church. And God wonderfully provided. He brought us someone to buy our house, and he brought us someone to that we could purchase a home from. And that's another story for another day, but God did a miracle in providing for us a new home. But in that time, and in the selling of that home, purchasing a new home, God was going to use it to teach me this lesson. Because you see, as a young man, I made a colossal mistake. I mean, a big mistake. When we sold our home, we signed a paper saying that we were going to close on a certain date. You know how this works. Well, when we went to purchase our new home, we signed a paper saying we're going to close on a certain date. You have the selling of your home and the buying of your home. Now, most people with any sense of intelligence would understand the importance of making sure that those dates matched up, right? You've got a wife. You've got two kids. You've got one in the oven. Right? And you don't take time to make sure that these dates line up? Nope. The date we were selling the house was on this date. The date we were signing to move into our new home was on this date. And there was going to be a month in between. 1 month in between. And when all of a sudden I realized that, I panicked. And I started doing everything I could to find a place for my family to live for 1 month. You know how difficult it is to find a place for 1 month? We had no family down here. And I did everything I could to try and find a place. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. It came down to a Wednesday morning. I will never forget this. A Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, and we were going to sign to sell the house on Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Less than 3 days. And I did not know where I was going to have my family live for a month. I remember that morning, Wednesday morning. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember getting up early. And I went down into the basement of our duplex in Jewett City. And I got down on my knees at 6:30 in the morning. And I cried unto God. And I poured my heart out to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I am about the dumbest person in the world. I have made a huge mistake. I'm the husband, the father of this home. I am supposed to be leading this. I am supposed to be taking care of my family. And I messed up. And I need your help. And I literally cried on my knees before God. I went off to work. I was working landscape construction. In those days, we didn't have cell phones or any of that. We had truck radios. That's all we had. And I went off on a job, and just by coincidence, I forgot a tool that I needed. So I had to run back to the shop. Ran back to the shop. It was 9:00 in the morning. I had prayed at 6:30. It's 9:00 in the morning. Went back to the shop, and as I walked in the office, the telephone rang. My boss said, it's for you. I never got calls. A friend of mine was on the phone, and he says, Doug, I hear that you need a place to stay. He says, I've got an apartment in Norwich. It's just become available. He says, I will give it to you for $300 for as long as you need it. He says, there's only one thing. I said, what's that? He says, it won't be available till Friday. Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I personally tell you this morning that from that moment when I learned that lesson, it has carried me through to this day. All the way through. Because I know the reality of that verse. And I know that works. Because I know my Savior. And I know His word is true. And from 6:30 in the morning, when in desperation, I humbly cried unto the Lord, to 9 o'clock, God could bring me off the job back to an office to get a phone call from the man that I had not talked to, but yet he heard. God prompted him to call. God did that, folks. And I tell you this, if He can do it for me, He can do it for you. And He's done it over and over and over and over and over and over. Let's see, how many years is it? All the time. But this morning, as we look at this verse, I want to go back in the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to look at... Now, hold on. We're just going to look at 8 or 9 testimonies of the reality of this promise that Jesus Christ made in the lives of different individuals. And I want you to see it so that you understand that this promise is for you. It's for me. It's for today. It's for your life. It's for your circumstances. It's for what you're going through at this moment. Jesus has come. Come unto me. If you're laboring, if you're heavy laden, if your burden says, come unto me. He says, I will give you rest. It's interesting to note, by the way, as I began to study this, Jesus said, come unto me in the Gospel of Matthew. Do you know that out of all 4 Gospels, there's like twice as many times in Matthew that the Bible says people, and it uses the word, came to Jesus more than the other 3 Gospels. Because God wants us to know His word is true. And He wants us to look at the testimonies and see the evidence and the proof of this promise so that you'll believe it and trust it and apply it to your heart and your life. The first one we find, if you will, is back in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And the first thing I want us to see is we're just going to go through these briefly. That's encouraging, isn't it? Briefly. And I want us to, first of all, I want us to see, well, who is it that came to Jesus Christ? The Bible says in Matthew 15 that great multitudes came unto Him. But not everybody came to Jesus Christ. As much as great multitudes came to Him, there are many that didn't come. But I want us to look, and I want us to just notice who it was that came to Jesus Christ. And I want us to understand that as we look, that we can see that it's people just like you and me. Matthew chapter 8, the first one, is in verse number 2. Behold, there came a leper. So number 1, we see a leper coming to Jesus Christ. Go down in verse number 5. Told you we were going through this briefly. Verse number 5. When Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion. Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a big difference between a leper and a centurion, isn't there? A leper is an outcast. He's sick with a terminal disease that causes him to be an outcast from society. A centurion. I mean, he's well known. He's famous. He's got a position. He's a leader of an army. In verse number 25 of chapter 8, the Bible says this. His disciples came to him. There's a moment, we'll see a little more in a minute, but his disciples came to him. John is one of those disciples. This is why John says, we saw him, we heard him, we were with him. He's real, he's true. You can trust him, you can believe him. He is the truth. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. Here we have a ruler, a person that's high in a position in society. But then you just go down a few verses. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. She came behind him. And here you have someone prominent in society. And then you just have an ordinary woman, an ordinary person. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28, when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. Blind men that could not see. But then you go over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Here's a woman, she's not of Israel. But she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one more I want you to notice, and that's in Matthew chapter 17. In verse number 14. And this one, I believe, is significant and can be a help to each one of us because it says this. And when they were come to a multitude, there came to him a certain man. A certain man. Now, when God uses that phrase, a certain man, he wants us to know something. He wants us to know this is not just a story. This is reality. He says, I want you to understand that that leper, that centurion, those blind men, that ruler, that woman, that other woman, this man, they were as real as you and I. This is not a made-up story, folks. Different people, different places, different circumstances, but each one of them as real as you are. Their lives were real. Their circumstances were as real as yours. And as real as your life and the circumstances in which you find yourself this morning. And I believe that as we look through those, what we can glean from that is that Jesus was no respecter of persons. But he says, come unto me, all ye. My friend, you can fit yourself right in between those testimonies. Because the Bible says a certain man. And your life is real and God knows that. My life is real and God knows that. Your circumstances are real. And God knows that. My circumstances are real. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says or has an opinion about what you're going through. To you, it is real. To God, it is real. To Jesus Christ, it is real. And he says, come unto me. Come unto me. I learned that back in 1986. And it's carried me through the years. It's carried me through this year. This past year has been the most difficult year of my entire life. I'm going to be 69. I don't think I've ever gone through a more difficult year than this year. My lungs got worse. I went to Peru. That didn't help. They got worse. They got worse. They got worse. And then when I thought it couldn't get any worse, in October, I lost my voice. Could barely speak. Could barely get a word out. And I'll tell you what, for a preacher, for 3.5 months, I was not able to stand up and preach the Word of God. And I tell you what, that became the most difficult thing, more than my lungs, more than anything else. To not be able to stand up and preach the Word of God. I would like to tell you this morning how strong I was. I wasn't. I would like to tell you this morning that I went through every day with a smile. I didn't. Because a pastor is just like everybody else. And I will honestly tell you, my family will tell you, that there were times this winter that I didn't get out of bed till 11 o'clock in the morning. There were times that I didn't have a desire to get up. I laid in bed. I would get up around 11 o'clock. And when I get up, the only thing I looked forward to was when the evening had come and I could go back to bed. Folks, pastors aren't supermen. They're frail, weak human beings just like everybody else. And yet finally, the Lord brought me to a place, back to Him. And it took a while, I'll be honest with you. It took a while. But when I came back to the reality of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He gave me rest again. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. He set me back upon my feet. Didn't happen in 10 minutes. Didn't happen in 3 hours. Took some time. But I'll tell you this, God's faithful. And every one of these persons, every one of these people was as real as you and I are. And you're real. And your life is real. Your circumstances are real. And God knows and understands and cares about you. And the first thing we see is all the different people that came. Boy, I'm so thankful that it was just everybody from every place, everywhere in life. As different as you and I. But the one thing they had in common is they came to Jesus. The one common denominator, they came to Jesus. But you know, the second thing is, why? Why'd they come to Jesus? Very simple. Very simple. It's the same reason why we would and should. Is because, as Jesus said, they were laboring, they were struggling, they were heavy laden, they were burdened. Why does Jesus invite us to come? He says, because I know your burden. I know your burdens. I know your struggles. I know your weakness. I know your pain. I know your suffering. He says, that's why I invite you to come to me. Let me put it to you simply. Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? Been to the doctor so many times. So many times. Tell you what. So many times. I appreciate doctors, but enough is enough. And every time I went, there's no cure for what you have. Very concerned about you. It's all about quality of life. No cure. I'll give you some pills. By the way, they're only $30,000 a month. God took care of that. But where are you going to turn, folks, with whatever you're going through? You see, the reason they came to Jesus Christ is because of what Jesus said. They were struggling. They were heavy laden. I mean, you just go back and go through. Look at what they were going through. You got Matthew chapter 8, you got a leper. You know, we have a missionary family that we support. Hasn't been here in probably 25 more years. Sam Day. How many remember when Sam Day came, shared his testimony? We have a missionary we support over in India. And he came to us and he shared his story. He was a leper. He was a leper. And he shared with us what it was like to be a young child and be a leper in India. His parents sent him off to a leper colony, a leper school. And after they sent him, they burnt up all the documentation and everything they had about his life, his information, his everything. They burnt it all up. Here's a young boy with a disease, leprosy, agonizing disease. Sent away by his family. Sent to a leper colony, to a leper house. An outcast from his family, outcast from society. And praise God, there came along a Baptist missionary with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he heard the gospel, trusted in Jesus Christ, and was saved. And you know what? God delivered him from the leprosy. A leper, an outcast. We find in Matthew chapter 8, another man, a centurion. Now a centurion, he wasn't sick. He wasn't a leper. But he was burdened. He was burdened for his servant. He had a servant. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, he says, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Here's a man in a position. He could have just easily just not had anything to do with his servant. But he was burdened. The Bible says he came and he beseeched the Lord. He begged the Lord. He says, my servant is sick and he's grievously tormented. He was heavy laden for someone else. someone that was close to him, someone that he loved. In verse number 25, the disciples came to him. The disciples came to him. Well, what were they so worked up about? They were the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Go ahead. Pick on them, if you will. Put yourself in their spot. I tell you what. I wouldn't want to be in their spot. You see, they want a ship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the middle of the night and a storm comes up. And all of a sudden, they're saying, Lord, we're going to perish. I tell you what, something I learned from that. Don't go in a ship. Very few times will I go in a ship. I don't care who's got the ship. But there's water underneath that ship, not land. And every shark is under that ship, waiting for me to fall over. Hungry, hasn't eaten in months. And they say, Lord, we're going to perish. We're going to die. Tell you what, that's a heavy burden, folks. They say, there's a real possibility. We're not going to make it through the night. Sometimes our burdens can be that heavy. You go down in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 18. There came a certain ruler. Now I'll tell you what, this one will tug at your heart. He wasn't sick. But he says, my daughter is even now dead. Tell you what, nothing'll get you more than when your little one is sick. Right? I mean, I remember, was it you, Crystal, that had to have a root canal? Who was it that drove their little bike down the stairs? I didn't want to bring up the reason, but she rode her little trike down the stairs in the house. I probably told her to. But she crashed. And so I had to take her to the dentist. I will never forget how burdened I was, how tormented I was, that this little girl, about 8 inches high, and this dentist with needles that big, and he's going to jam them into her teeth. And I remember how stressful that was. I mean, when it's your little child, right? It's a heavy burden, isn't it? And you say, what can we do? You go down to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. Here's a woman. She's diseased with an issue of blood. 12 years. One of the other gospels said she spent all her money on all the doctors and nothing could be done. 12 years. That's a long time, folks. You know, some of our burdens, they go on for a long while, don't they? You wake up day after day after day after day and it's still there. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I've prayed and you've prayed. We've all prayed for my lungs. And I thank you for your prayers. And I wake up some mornings and I think, maybe it's better today. And then I gasp and say, well, Nope, not today. Not today. It's been 5 years now since I started coughing. It's been 5 years since my youngest daughter told me to go to the doctor. Wish I never listened to her. I would have just kept coughing, been like I am today, but I wouldn't have had all the knowledge. No, I'm glad I went to the doctor. But it's been 5 years. Some of our burdens go on for years, years and years. And yet Jesus says, come, come unto me. In Matthew chapter 15, verse number 25, or verse number 22, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Nothing anybody could do. And you see, you want to know why they came? They all were different people. They all had different problems. They all came to Jesus. And they all came to Jesus for the same reason. And that reason is found in verse number 25 of chapter 15. They needed help. And they came to Jesus. She came, she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. So simple, yet so much. She said, Lord, help me. Help me. That's what each one of them was saying in their hearts. And as you read these passages, listen, let me just put something else in there. They all came humbly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what else? They all came believing. They came because they needed help and they knew it. And they came humbly and they bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ. They worshiped him and they believed him. The leper would say, if you will, you're able. The blind man, he said to the blind man, do you believe that I can do this? And he said, oh, well, we believe. You see, when Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, he knows you have a need. You have your need. Come humbly to Jesus Christ, but come believing. You say, Pastor, my faith is weak. Yeah. You know what? So was the faith of the disciples. He says, why do you have such little faith? And they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. You want to strengthen your faith? There's only one way. It's by reading about Jesus Christ. Read about him. Read the testimonies in the Gospels. Read about his person and his word. Read about his power in the Gospel of Mark. Reading about how he cares for you in Gospel of Luke. Read about the fact that he is the Son of God and he is able in the Gospel of John. Read and read and read until your faith takes hold and you come by faith humbly to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I need help. I need help. I can't fix this. I can't solve this. I can't take care of it. I'm a mess. I need you, Lord. They came to Jesus Christ. The reason they came is because they were burdened and they needed help. And they knew who to go to. They knew who to go to. When I started this journey with my lung problems, I was referred to one lung doctor. for 6 months. That lung doctor gave me shots every month telling me it was asthma. And I didn't see any change. I went back to my doctor and I says, I don't know. He says, let me recommend a lung specialist for you. I remember walking into that lung specialist for the first time. And the lung specialist, my lung doctor now, said to me, asthma? There is no way that is asthma. You see, you've got to get to the right person, folks. And I'm thankful that my doctor pointed me who to go to. Listen, I'm pointing you who to go to this morning. And his name is Jesus Christ. I'm pointing you from the Word of God. I'm pointing you from a personal testimony. I'm pointing you with every fiber of my being and with my whole heart. Come to Jesus today. They came to Jesus. The reason they came is they were burdened and they needed help. And if you're burdened today and need help, there's one place to go, it's to Jesus. But you know, there's one more thing. What did they find when they came to Jesus? Well, let me just, for the sake of time, let me just tell you what they find. They found the person of Jesus Christ. And they found that they would receive exactly what he promises. Rest. Rest. You see, they came to Jesus and thankfully, in every instance, he didn't turn them away. They came to Jesus and he heard their cry. They came to Jesus. He saw their need. They came to Jesus and he spoke to them and comforted their hearts. They came to Jesus and he met their needs. You say, how did he meet their needs? Hey, go back and read it for yourself this afternoon. Take time and search it out. But he met every one of their different needs. Just like he'll do for you and me. Now don't ask me to tell you how he's going to meet your needs. What fashion, what way. Because I don't know. That's his business, not mine. I'm just telling you he will. Because he can meet them in a way that you can't even begin to understand. And he gave them rest as he promised. He gave them rest as he promised. So what do we learn from this morning? What do we learn from this morning? Tell you what I've learned over the years. That when Jesus makes a promise, you can mark it down. It's good. His word is good. When Jesus says, Doug, you're burdened, you got a problem, it's weighing you down, you can't fix it, you can't solve it, hey, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. You know, I learned that lesson 1986. And I'm thankful that that lesson has stuck with me over the years. And I go back many times and remember that one lesson I learned. And I say this to myself, if he did it once, he can do it again. And if he did again, he can do it again. And I don't know how many times he's done it again, but it's been a lot. And never once has he failed me. Never once has he failed me. Stand before you today, able to speak clearly. I haven't coughed one time. I haven't used oxygen. I'm still breathing, I think. That's God, folks. That's not me. That's not my doctors. That's God. He did in 1986. He did in 2025. And you know what? He'll do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You see, David said this. David said in 1 Samuel 17, David said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." You know why David could stand up in the face of Goliath and with assurance and confidence go up as one man against a giant? Because he said, you know, I learned a lesson years ago that God could deliver me from a bear, from a lion. And if he could do it then, what's Goliath? I mean, he's nothing more than a bear or a lion. I mean, he looks like one and he smells like one. God delivered me before. He can deliver me again. You know, there's one more testimony that I want to give to you. And John writes it in the Gospel of John. Another man that came to Jesus Christ. And this man didn't have something physically that was weighing heavy upon him. He had something else that he was burdened about. And he came to Jesus Christ. He came by night. See, that's the other beautiful thing. You can come to Jesus any time of the day and night, wherever you are. This man was named Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus Christ by night. And he had a burden, because you know what? He had religion, but he knew it was empty. He knew it wasn't working. He knew he needed help. And he came to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ told him, "Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You got to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ." And Jesus Christ gave him rest that night. Nicodemus believed on Jesus Christ, and Nicodemus was saved. So this morning I ask you, what's your need this morning? What's your burden this morning? What's weighing you down heavily this morning? Jesus has come to me. I'll give you rest. He won't force you, but he invites you to come. When you come to Jesus Christ, he'll fulfill his word. He'll give you rest. He'll save your soul. Give you eternal life. He'll give you rest in the midst of your difficulties and your struggles and your problems. Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank this morning for your word. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's burdened here this morning. Oh Lord, that they would know they can come to you and you will give them rest. I pray if there's someone here that's never believed on Jesus Christ and is not saved, that they would come to you. For there's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. You're the one that died for us, rose again from the grave, And you said, come to me. You'll find rest for your soul. Lord, may we come to you this morning and know the reality, the living reality of Jesus Christ as you meet our needs. In Jesus' precious name, amen.